Marianne Bugg is often known as the wife of Captain Thunderbolt, who was a sort of Robin Hood bushranging figure in New South Wales in the 1860s. Marianne, the Indigenous woman who loved him and saved him, is the more interesting part of the Thunderbolt story. Here is Marianne Bugg.
It's just turned spring in 1863, and the water in Sydney Harbour's got a chill to it. But Marianne Bugg dives in, making the swim out to Cockatoo Island, metal file between her teeth. It's on that island prison, out on the harbour, that her husband, Fred Ward, waits. Marianne loves Fred, and Fred loves Marianne. He's not doing well out on Cockatoo. He just wants to get back to his wife and child. They'd met in a place called Dungog, 130 miles up north from Sydney. It's in Warramai country, Marianne's country. She's the daughter of a Warramai woman and a white man, an ex-convict brought over from England for stealing a few pigs. Fred had passed through Dungog after his first release from prison, serving time for horse stealing. Marianne was a widow, still young. She liked the way he had with horses. Romance, a wedding, a baby, and then it's back to prison for Fred. His crime? Borrowing a horse without any proof he had permission to do so. You can understand their point with his history. Now it's his second spell on the island. From the Balmain Peninsula, jutting out into Sydney Harbour, Marianne can see the prison island. To be nearer to Fred, she had travelled south to Sydney and found herself a job as a domestic servant in one of the peninsula's grand houses. Marianne can sew, cook, read and write, and she knows how to bow her head and pray to God. At the age of 5, she'd been sent to Parramatta Orphan School to exorcise the savage character of her mother's ancestry and to learn the civilized ways of her father's people, people who'd come and taken land and beat back its owners. And all the while Marianne's been cooking and cleaning and sewing in the house in Balmain, she's been watching the island. She knows how far the swim is. She's worked out how long it'll take her. She knows when the guards go off duty. And it's because she's watched, she knows the right time to swim to the island prison, pass the metal file to a sympathetic guard, and swim back to shore, where she waits for Fred to meet her. She waits 2 nights for him to file through his chains, find a time that's right to slip away, and swim back to her. And the night he does, she waits on Long Nose Point, lantern in hand, so that Fred knows where to come ashore. They embrace before parting. He rides off to the Culgoog floodplains up northwest near the Queensland border. Fred Ward will soon become known as Captain Thunderbolt, bushranger. He'll steal from the rich and become a hero to the poor. He'll earn sympathy and respect of the convict class, the underdogs. There'll be calls for his pardon, which will never come, but after his death, the statues will be erected and children will read about him in tales of brave Australian men. But Fred, well, he's not the most interesting part of the story. Thank you. Gloucester's 39 miles north of Dungog, still in Worimi country. The road from New England passes through the tiny town, a place of slab and bark huts, a hotel, and an Anglican church. It's there that Marianne waits for Fred. He finds her. He steals some saddles, a bridle, and a double-barreled gun. Mary's pleased with the haul, but she makes it very clear that the guns are not for shooting people. She's seen what guns do. She's heard about the massacres. Fred tells her he won't, and in his band of rangers he'll allow no one to shoot at another human being. They ride away, Mary in men's clothes, riding astride her horse with a band of four men. They say in the papers that Mary is his lady love, his Mrs. Thunderbolt, but they know she's fierce and strong. It's Mary who keeps them safe and fed. She's got this way of killing cattle, riding up fast towards them, lunging at them with a spear for a fierce, quick kill. She finds yams, gum nuts. Other Aboriginal women join their camp, and kinship ties are strong. The gang is shielded through Worimi and Gamilaroi country further inland. The first owners of the land keep them safe from detection in exchange for food and loot. Mary and the women make sure of that. But the troopers are always on their tail, and Mary and her children, now numbering three, are caught and taken in. She stayed around to distract the police, you see, while shooing Fred away. She's charged with vagrancy because she tells them she has no fixed address and doesn't know where Fred is. She's steely, and she knows what's what. When they ask her if she's the wife of Captain Thunderbolt, she looks them in the eye and says, "I don't know about Thunderbolt." But they don't know what to do with Mary Ann Bug. People say Mary couldn't be charged with vagrancy because as an Aboriginal woman, the wilderness is her home, and that's where they found her. Others argue that Mary has been taught the ways of civilized people and therefore isn't native enough for the wilderness to be her home any longer. Others say she's nothing but a half-caste, Thunderbolt's right-hand lieutenant who roamed the bush causing havoc. Mary Ann Bug has them all confused. No one can name her as one thing or another, and in the end, the vagrancy charge is thrown out because a magistrate rules it's been incorrectly drawn up. That judgment doesn't mean she isn't a vagrant and doesn't mean she is. Everyone just kept scratching their heads while Mary rides away to find her Fred. She travels up to Tamworth. Mary'd always liked to talk and laugh, and she'd always been good at telling stories. So in town, she settles in and talks and talks and tells anyone who'll listen that if Thunderbolt doesn't turn up, she'll have to find a fresh start. And she talks more and intimates that Fred has been unfaithful. Her stories get more scandalous and she keeps telling them until there they are, printed in the papers. And that was how she found him, because she knew the papers would tell her story and she knew that Fred would read those stories. Everyone thought that Captain Thunderbolt was illiterate, but Mary Ann Bug had taught him to read. Mary Ann Bug died in 1867. She was taken ill with pneumonia, and no amount of care and no amount of bush medicine could save her from this disease the white man had brought to her land. Captain Thunderbolt was shot and killed by troopers 3 years later. There are other versions of the story. There are versions that say that the woman who died wasn't Mary at all, but another woman Fred had taken up with. But in all the gossip surrounding the death, It seems that it was most likely Mary, and it seemed most likely too that Fred loved her to the end. There are other people too who say that Mary Ann never swam to Cockatoo Island, that Fred found his own way to escape. But you can feel her waiting, looking out to the island, and you know that however the story really goes, she saved him, one way or the other. If you're up in Thunderbolt Country, remember Mary Ann Bug. Go see his statue if you must, but think about the statue you might build for her instead. A proud Worimi woman, taken from her mother and her land, who taught a man to read and turned everyone's expectations upside down.
That was Mary Ann Bug. It was voiced by Miranda Tapsell and produced by Sophie Townsend and Lorena Allam. The sound engineer was Mark Don.